this has been on my heart for a while, just to do a little demonstration. So often we can read and study and hear a lot of things, but remember this, it's the doer of the word that gets blessed, not the hearer. And something we got to hear to grow and understand, but eventually you got to become a doer. And so I hear great ministers, sometimes I'm kind of, you know, be real awesome, so I say, it's hard not to compare, okay? And I hear a great minister, I go, oh boy, does anybody come hear me? And then you read books and you get all intrigued and you get, you know, wow, you know, but every once in a while, this is what I do, I go, wait a minute, I don't really need to be the best preacher that ever hit the earth. Because there's already too many good ones out there. And you can get them all on the internet now. You know, it's not like the old days. So that's really not a goal. And I don't need to be the guy that has all the knowledge that everybody has to call and ask, because, you know, sometimes, you know, we used to drive to the little town of Vail and all the dogs would come out and chase cars. We used to do some mean things. I don't know if you guys ever did that. I doubt if you did that. But, you know, you can tie a bone sack to the hubcap and it's kind of fun. The dog tries to bite your tire, bites into the gunny sack, and he puts him into a spin. Yeah. Anyway, sorry for all those kind of illustrations, but here's the deal: if you can talk to a dog that is impulsive to chase cars all the time, it'd be fun to ask him, "What are you going to do with it when you catch it?" You know, are you going to go bury it? And it's like, once in a while, we need to talk to ourselves and to others and say, what are you going to do if you get what you want? Because sometimes we're saying what we want or what we'd like. But really, if we got it, I don't know if we'd be all that happy about it. But then on the other side, it's like, what do you really want? Because you have the ability to go get it. Bible talks about receiving, and it's actually, the word is kind of stronger, go get it. He who receives Christ, he who goes and gets it. The Bible says a lot about being a doer. And so one of the focuses in my life was always, okay, God, you called me to do this, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to be as persuasive as I can, because Paul said to King Agrippa, he said, I'd like to persuade you all the way into believing in Christ. So that's part of what you and I do, is we're now proclaimers of this good news, hoping to persuade people to believe. But also, we're also people who need to live in the kingdom and be doers of the kingdom of God. And I find the focus, generally speaking, we're all looking for more knowledge. We're all looking to grow in that knowledge. But in all reality, if we didn't know any more scriptures than we know today, if we didn't know any more truth than we know today, but we walked in the truth that we had, we'd be absolutely amazing people. Amen? If we just did what we knew to do all the time, or most of the time. So I was just thinking about, you know, doing a little demonstration about just praying for people. And I was thinking mostly down the lines of healing. And just, you know, remember what we shared a little bit ago, you know, just tweaking the carburetor a little bit sometimes will make a motor really purr out and run in power. Sometimes we just need a little tweak in there. So I got to think about that. And, you know, a friend of mine, Guy Dunnick's on Facebook a lot. And he just says statements like this all the time. You know, I don't want to search the scriptures to find confirmation of my opinion. This is really big. You can go find the scriptures to back up your opinion of what you're trying to get across. My friend in the early days to help me start Believers Fellowship got up one morning and he got up at like at noon. And his wife wasn't very happy. And she communicated that without words. And he kind of goes, well, it don't matter if I got up and didn't. I'm still the head of the house. You know, quoted that scripture. He came and told me that. I said, man, you're an idiot. I said, when you pull the Bible out to whoop on your wife when you got up at noon, you're an idiot. You're a fool. So you don't really just go, and unfortunately a lot of ministers, you know, and a lot of people find scriptures to back their own opinion, rather than saying, read the scriptures to ditch your opinion and get the truth. So I started looking at all the scriptures, you know, okay, Jesus, you're our best example, your exact representation of how to pray for people. How to pray for people's healing. And you know what I found? And you can help me if you can think of one right now, or you can search it out later, but Jesus didn't pray for people's healing. He spoke things. Now he did say, it does say that when he went to Lazarus' tomb, it does say he stopped and he looked up and he said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I'm saying this out loud for people to understand, but I've already talked to you about this situation. But then he didn't pray for Lazarus, he just said, Lazarus, come forth. Which had to be a hilarious, because they wrap them up like mummies, you know? Can you imagine? Just sometimes you read these things and you go, man, that had to be a hilarious moment of Lazarus trying to come out of the tomb, you know, with his legs wrapped up and his face, you know, and loosing, let it go, you know, get him out of there. Isn't it a desire in your heart, though, to see more of the power of God manifested in our daily life? And Chris, what you said is, we walk in this kingdom all the time, whether we acknowledge it or not. Once you're born again, you are a spiritual being, an eternal spirit, and you shine. Okay. When Jesus on that Mount of Transfiguration said his face began to glow and his clothes began to glow, and it was a revealing of what was already there. And in the spiritual realm, we shine. We're clothed with light. So when you walk through this earth, even on your bad days and you're grumpy and you're complaining, do you realize? In the spiritual realm, if we could just see the spiritual realm and not the earthly realm, you'd be walking around, though, clothed in light and glorious. When you got born again, everything pertaining to life and godliness was given to you all at one time. You can't get any more righteous. You can't get any more filled. You are a child of God with all the rights and privileges and responsibilities. What we grow in is we grow in the understanding and the knowledge of that, and then we grow in becoming doers of who we really are. But just think about that right now. When the angels look upon you, they see you shining. Now, once in a while, do you ever think about this? When you're doing something wrong and you know you're wrong and you're just, and you think, and the angels are watching you. You ever think about that and go, gosh, sorry, guys. Right? Again, here it is. They're not judging us because they're not the judge. They're not judges because the Father told them, go minister to these people, take care of them. Didn't say if they do everything right. I believe they are limited by our faith and by our sense of righteousness. If you don't feel like you're right and worthy, Paul said this, he says, since you considered yourself unworthy, we're walking away. You can consider yourself unworthy of God's goodness and you will not receive the goodness that you should receive. So here's one of the first things that when you're praying for somebody, Tris, come on up, I'll use you. You didn't raise your hand or nothing, I know, but you're becoming too close of a friend. And this is what happens to my close friends. This is a warning to all of you. Okay? Said we've been just having great fellowship. And we saw a great result, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah, you're not on our shit. Isn't that amazing? Contrary to what was told. So if I'm going to pray for Chris, or the Bible does say pray one for another that you may be healed. So there is a reason why we pray for one another. Okay? But also, we also know that part of that prayer is our communication with God. That's what really Jesus is saying. I've been communicating with you, Heavenly Father, about Lazarus. I know what to do now. And what did the Spirit God, the Father, say when Jesus was transfigured? He said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Profound words. Listen to him. People say, "I don't know if I can hear him." If the Father tells you to listen to Jesus, it is not your responsibility to come up with the ability to hear him. It's your responsibility just to do it. So this ought to encourage your faith when you say, "I don't know if I hear from God." You need to drop that opinion. I need to drop that opinion about questioning whether we can hear him or not. Just say, if he told us to listen, we just need to listen because we can hear. Because he wouldn't have told us to do something we can't do. It's his responsibility to get across to us. It may sound, every once I tell God, if I'm messing up, it's your fault, not mine. Because it's your responsibility to communicate with me. And I am listening. So, anyway. I got so much going on in this little head right now.
I'm trying to catch up.
Yeah, I'm trying to back the train up to get hold of the caboose so we all go better.
Go away, man.
Here's what I would... this is not law. This is not another thing that you got to rule. This is a suggestion, okay? Take it at that. But I felt like I heard the Lord speak to me several times on this issue a lot. I don't recommend this prayer, okay? Let's say Chris asked me to pray for him.
Asked me to pray for him.
Okay, so I got that clear. And now I go like this. Oh, Father, we just come before your throne, and I want to thank you for Chris's life. He's so faithful. He's got a servant's heart. He's got a servant's attitude. Him and his wife just love to serve you. We love to serve your people. They've been faithful. They've been growing in grace. They're just doing such an awesome job. Oh, Lord. You'll hear that a lot when you see people pray. I really recommend not doing that. Mm-hmm. Why?
It's not about you.
God already knows.
Okay, God knows.
It's not about you.
Okay, whether you know it or not, you got several motives that could be in this, okay? One, you want to just acknowledge that you love the guy. Okay? And appreciate him. But if you want to do that, just go ahead and don't put it in a prayer. Just tell him. I appreciate you. I really do. I appreciate your prayer. I really do. You guys have just, we've said it before, I've said it to you many times, haven't we? I love you, I appreciate you, and your servant's attitude. See, that's way better than putting it in a prayer. Because in a way, when you're praying it, here's the problem with that. You're basically coming before the throne of God to draw upon the power of God, the Spirit, and the spiritual power of God to heal this man. And whether you understand it or not, you're basically presenting, God, this guy is pretty worthy for you to bless. He's done a good job. I think you ought to bless him. And we all know that's dead wrong. You've canceled out more power by doing that kind of stuff, and you bind up the Spirit of God where he can't move, because we are not worthy of anything on our merits. Our prayer life, our obedience, none of that qualifies us for God's blessing. Amen? Man, this is like a little tweak, okay? This seems like an awful small little turn. I'm saying that because those of us that know the carburetors frustrates the heck out of me sometimes. If you can just turn it an eighth of an inch, sometimes it'll purr out and just run like a top. It's like, well, crap, why are you so picky? But the truth is, we nullify the grace of God, the power of God, when we present good works to Him. And think that it's going to be in the court of law, a legal thing, that you need to bless this guy because he's a nice guy. And whether you really believe that or not, the people you're praying for hear that, and if they don't have the knowledge, they might fall and slip into that and thinking, uh-oh, he's saying I'm a pretty nice guy, but I'm not that nice. He's saying I've been a real servant, but I've got some bad attitude. He doesn't know what's going on. And in their heart and in their mind now, you've almost presented that you're trying to get healing into them, and you just actually confused the situation because you've got them thinking about their good works, and they're looking at their life saying, I'm not that good, I probably won't get healed. It sounds small, but it's huge. Kenneth Hagin said this once. He said, he preached to Assembly of God people that were full of spirit and all that. And he said, people, they'd come and have somebody sick in their, in the congregation. He said, I'd pray for them. And he said, a lot of times they didn't get healed. But he said, I had neighbors that were Catholics. And they were rowdy people. Enough said? I think about it because there's people on the internet. but he said, they were carousing, they were staying out late, they were getting drunk, they were crazy people. But he said, they would bring their kids to me. They lived across the street, and they'd bring their kids to me and said, Brother Hagin, pray for my son. He's got this, He said, I'd pray for him. He said, he almost always got healed. And he said, I told the Lord, this ain't right. You got people listening to the Word of God. You got people growing, they're tithing, they're giving offerings, they're doing all, they don't get healed. But these people, they always get healed. He said, why? He said, because they're not trying to use their good works to get healed. You are. You can actually come before the throne thinking, well, I've been doing pretty good. I think maybe I can get blessed a bit. And actually, you'd be better off if you smoked a cigar and took a shot of whiskey and just cussed a whole bunch and said, get me healed, God! You'd have a better shot of getting healed. Because our works are dead. They're useless. As far as us receiving the goodness of God. It is only faith in the fact that Jesus Christ paid that price. Amen? Now, you may think, well, I don't get that many chances to pray for people. But you do. And whether you pray for them out loud and with them, or whether you pray silently, sometimes it's for them, have this attitude. My Father wants him healed because he's in love with him. He sent Jesus to die for him so that he could be healed. That's all I really need to know. I don't need to present a case. I don't need to add anything to that. I just need to say that it is the Father's will to heal Chris because Christ died for it, paid a high price for it. Nothing else needs to be said, really. And the more you say, probably the more doubts you're going to get into. This has been a hard one for me, but the shorter the prayer, probably the more powerful the prayer. And you don't see Jesus praying for too many people like, oh, Father, would you, you don't see him doing that. What you do say is, he says, be healed. It's really not a prayer, it's a command. And he told us, go preach this kingdom and heal the people. Now, One of the problems we have is we think we have a responsibility to get them healed. Do you really have the ability to heal people? In yourself? No. It is only the grace of God and the power of God coming through you. People say, well, he's got a gift of healing. Man, I want to go see him. And really, and technically, you've got to be really careful about that. Yes, God has called people to different things and different strengths, but it always is the grace of God. It's always from the kingdom of God. It's never, it's, it goes through us, but it's not from us. Here's one of the reasons we're afraid to pray for people boldly. What is one of the reasons we're afraid to pray boldly? What's one of the reasons?
Fear
won't come to pass. Which indicates what? What else can we say about that?
Lack of faith.
What are they going to think about me?
Oh. What are they going to think about me? Isn't that kind of revealing? Oh, so now it's about you. I mean, this is, if we get it out in the open, we can deal with it. I face this all the time. You know what's easier for me when my hair was down to here? Or here? Actually, if you pulled it, it was down to here, but it was just a little kinky, wavy. And nobody expected anything out of me, spiritually. And we had a Bible study here in Sturgis. We went to Cliff Lynn's house, and he would, Cliff Lynn, if you knew him, he was just a real salesman, a real promoter, and he'd tell everybody, man, you got to come hear this young man. He's really on fire for God. He's really got the Spirit of God on him, and boy, he's just full of wisdom. And so I'd be sitting there in his house with my curly hair. I had a blue jean jacket with embroidery on the back. It looked like a Hell's Angel. And I'd be sitting there, and these people would come, and he sold to, you know, all these Methodist friends of his. You got to come here, this young guy. And literally, it was so much fun, because I'd be sitting there, and they would walk into the house, and he'd go, this is who I was talking about. This is John. And you can literally watch their face go. I mean, seriously, they would just drop their face and like, huh? And so I just look at him and say, oh, wasn't Mike what you're expecting, huh? Some of them would go, oh, well, no, I mean, you know. And it was so much easier when nobody thought I had anything or could be anything or, you know, and God would work through me. But you know what it got hardest when miracle after miracle after miracle happened? The power of God started coming out of me, and all of a sudden I thought I had to keep it up. All of a sudden I had a reputation. All of a sudden people were expecting things to happen. And it was way harder. I thought, no, I don't want to disappoint them now. And I had to concentrate in my mind, it is not about me. And it is not about my, and you'll have part of this, you can have a lot of, you know, same thing, but it's like if they don't like me, they might not like the church, they might not come to church, and it's like, you gotta throw all that away and just say, why am I going to pray for Chris to be healed? So that I might look good? So I might establish my ministry? So that other people might, so I could have some fun doing it? Well, that's not a wrong thing, but it's like, the real motive is, Christ loves Chris. And I'm just his servant, his child, and he's asked me to do this. It has nothing to do with me. I'm not trying to verify my ministry. I'm not trying to get a miracle so I can tell everybody. I have young people all the time come and they indicate to me that they want to minister and they'd like to be involved in all that. But one of the things that's sort of starting to get across to them is that, you know, it doesn't take me very long to evaluate real fast that you are in this for you. I think God's called me into a ministry. He's told me I'm going to preach to thousands. Oh, boy. You got a flesh like everybody else, and that's tempting. But tweak that thing a little bit. When you pray for somebody, it's because you agree with God that you have compassion for this person. You want them healed, and you're not looking to build a ministry, and you're not looking to build a reputation, but you aren't being like a bulldog to say, I'm in agreement with my Father. When Jesus ministered, often it would say he had compassion on the people. He felt compassion for the people, and then miracles took place. Have a sincere love for people. Have a pure heart of just saying, I want them healed. You know, one of the things that we try to do here, I've said it for years, I'm going to use it again, but if Richard walked out of that chair today, that'd be no small thing, would it? And you know what a lot of groups would want to do? They'd want it on KOTN. They'd want it on this. They'd want it on that. You know what? I told Richard this. And I said, if you ever walk out of here, I mean, we can't keep it quiet. People are going to find out. By the way, he's very tall. He's not a short person. It'd be real evident. But what we've got to do is just kind of lay low and keep going. And not have everybody think they need to come to the Leaders Fellowship to get healed. But there's a kingdom out there accessible to them. I believe that we are always increasing in the kingdom of God because the Word says so. I believe 2024 is going, we're going to have another increase of the power of God working in people's lives. And it is not a goal to fill this church up. It may fill this church up. It's okay. We want to open the doors and we want more people to be loved and we want more big kids in our family, right? But that is not our purpose. Our purpose is we have compassion. And this is the Father's will. Hallelujah. So, it's real simple. Be healed. And he is. Thank you. Not hard, is it? And I found in my doubtful days, I was growing, but I was full of faith, but I could pray forever. I could pray till I was sweating for people. And there was some glory. And here's the deal. God still healed people. We still saw miracles. But as I've grown, I realized, man, John, tweak it, grow up. It's not to verify your ministry, ever. It is an act of God's love. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever believes in him will be saved. And most of the time, what we need to do is just decree the truth. And believe it. Ruthlessly believe it. And then walk away. You know, one of my first stories on this, Kenneth Copeland went to a saint asylum to pray for this person. He was a young person that got messed up in drugs or something like that and got insane or whatever else and was really messed up and would do the bad, you know, beating himself up or laying on the floor and beating his head against the wall, whatever else. And so the family said, would you come pray for our son? He's really messed up. He got into drugs and blew his brains. I said, yeah. So he came in, saw the guy, and said, man, he's got demons in him. He said, in the name of Jesus, I cast your demons out. And the guy went into a fit, kind of like an epileptic fit. And was flopping on the floor and all that. And Kenneth turned around and said, okay, let's go. And the people that are with him said, you can't go. He's not there. He says, yeah, no. He said, I'm done. And that embedded in me so strong in my early days. And I won't go into getting rid of demons right now, but it's very similar. You speak the word, you believe it, and you go on. But if you want to sit there and wrestle with them, they'll oblige you. I've seen people literally wrestle demonic people. And I just thought, no, I'm not playing that game. He just told me to cast the devil out and I'll do it. And he walked out. My friend Jerry Walson was in Africa. He was ministering about 2 million people. Can you imagine 2 million people? So during a big field, and he said, we drove for a couple miles, or a mile or so, and speakers after speakers after speakers. That's to reach 2 million people. And he said, and so he was there, and he said, through the message, he kept saying, I say in the name of Jesus, be free. He would just say that in the middle of a sentence, you know, or middle of his message, you know, whatever. And it came out of his mouth several times. I said, in the name of Jesus, you're free. And then he just, you know, go on. Anyway, after the meeting, they came to him, and they said, there's a man out there in the middle of the field who is laying flat on the floor of ground, but he's coming up about 3 or 4 feet in the air. Now, some of you are pretty athletic. Can you do that? That's pretty freaky. And so we know he's got demons, and would you come and minister to him? And Jerry just said, no. I already have. Let's go home. And they said, well, you don't understand. He's out there. He's, you know, his body's being torn in half. He's being, you know. And his own wife, Jerry's own wife, said, Jerry, have some compassion. He says, I have already dealt with it. And he said, tell me later, we were talking about it. He said, John, I really think it was a gift of faith. I don't think it was my faith. I just think God dropped in me one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is a gift of faith. He said, I was belligerent about it. I said, no, I've already dealt with that. I'm not going. He said, I was even arguing with myself. Should go out there. Well, the one with Kenneth Copeland, you know, after he left, I don't know how long it was a few hours, I don't remember that, or half a day, that young fellow came to his sanity and walked out of that nurse, that mental institution. This young man in the back, he bounced out there till about 2 in the morning. Well, you bet he had something to get. I mean, it was muscles like. He got up to testify and said, when he was a young child, his parents took him down to the river, dedicated him to Satan, and he said a serpent-like rainbow creature came out of the water and entered into this little pendant that he put around his neck. And he said, every time I heard the gospel and I started learning to believe, he said, that thing would just start tearing me up inside. I feel it just be tearing at me. And he said, then I just have to leave the meeting or whatever else. But he said, that last night, all I heard was, in the name of Jesus, you are free. Every time Jerry said that, he heard that. And he held on to that. And at 2 in the morning, that thing left him and let him forget it. I'm telling you these stories to say this. In 2024, why don't we just step out a little bit more bolder than we've ever been before, just to say, be healed. And say, and have the right heart attitude. That God has compassion for them, but I don't have the responsibility. Because if you take on that responsibility, you're going to start worrying. You're going to start being, I know this for a fact. You're going to start hesitating. And if you, if you try to be, and it's a lot freer, just don't try to be eloquent. Praise the Lord. Stephanie, would you come? Thank you, Jesus. So look for opportunities this coming year. I was ministering to Jesse, and it was like we're almost like he could go tonight. He could, several times he's been on just about to pass over. And they know, and when I saw him a couple months ago, they said, we just want another, you want to make it till this grandson's birthday or something. And now he's gone past that. So finally I went to the hospital and I said, what do you want? What do you want to do? And he was kind of just complaining about being poked and all that, which I can understand. But I've been talking to the Lord about it before I got there, and the Lord just has been instructing. And I'm just opening, okay? This is kind of transparency. We're more like the different. We're chickens. We need encouragement. And what if I said, well, he said, what did I always do? You always ask him, what do you want? So I started asking Jesse, what do you want? And, you know, and a lot of times, and he said some things, and I wasn't trying to put it in his mind. I was just trying to take his mind and say, Jesse, do you want a month? Because I started asking the Lord to give him another month. And part of that was for me. And finally I said, Jesse, what do you want? You want a month? You want a year? You want several years? And here's the deal. He didn't really come up with anything, but I felt led of the Lord to drop it into his heart. Because the doctors are all saying, you're dying. There's no hope. We can't do anything more. That's what they're saying. We can't do anything more for COPD. We can't do anything more for your heart. And so you know what we do? We hear that, we believe it. People believe doctors. You know why? Because they've been programmed from the time they're born to believe in doctors. And I'm not critical, but it's just like, they're just guessing like the rest of us. Really, seriously. And they're going back on most people's experiences. But we break experience. We break those records all the time. All the time. It's not a given. And so, you and I have the opportunity to drop seeds into people's hearts on all kinds of different issues. And just saying, maybe consider this. It's almost like, and once in a while I've said this out loud, but you may not have to say it, but just say, I give you permission to live another year if you want to. Jesus so often, before he would speak to them, the healing or whatever, he'd only say, what do you want? You can do that, and I can do that, okay? And then just agree with them and speak it. What do you want? Isn't that a scary question? I mean, do you feel that? What do you want?
Total freedom, total
health. Is it wrong to want total health? Is it wrong to want total deliverance? Is it wrong to want energy and vitality? Because in all reality, if we stop and just take awareness of what's going on, sometimes when you go, is it okay for me to ask for total health? I've been, you know how we're kind of almost thought, well, be grateful for what you got. That's a good principle, isn't it? Be grateful for what you got. Be content with what you have. That's a good principle. Man, that's true. But that doesn't mean you can't ask for more. When Christ died, he didn't die for just a portion. He died for once and for all that we would have zozo, the Greek word for salvation, which is total deliverance and freedom. We put these limits on. I bought a lumber yard. I went to the banker. I said, I want to buy this lumber yard. He said, how much money do you want? $1,000 and he just spit in his spittoon and just said, rah, 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 rah. You better pay him off and you better, rah, 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 rah. You know. So I was anticipating the banker doing that with me, and I went in and said, I want to, you know, how much money do you want, John? And I came up with a number way too small. All right, John. Yeah, I don't do payments, just pay me when you can. If you can't pay, we'll renew it, okay, see you, John. And he did that all based on my father, my dad. Is it? Do you think it's okay for us to ask for total healing? Do you think it's okay for us to be asked for total freedom? Do you think it's okay for us to ask that 2024 we have joy all year long? Do you think it's okay for us to ask that we walk in grace and the power of God all, and that we just get better and better? Well, how are we going to die? It means you just let your body, you just breathe your last and go home. You don't have to have a disease to go home. Amen? All right. Be it done to you according to your faith. Be totally whole. Amen. Was that hard? Wasn't hard, was it? Well, it doesn't happen. Well, she's been suffering for a long time anyway. She'll get by. I hope you know I'm getting kind of sarcastic and a little bit to try to get us unstuck out of our stinking thinking. And know this, it's okay to go to God every day and ask, I want total healing today. Because your body's getting hammered every day. Praise God. Sorry, so sorry. Would you stand with me, please? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Here you are. What do you want? But sometimes when you're put on the spot with that question, you don't, it's just like, wow, now that you mention it, I don't know what I want. That's a great place to start. To stop and say, I'm going to take some time to be alone and say to myself and with the help of the Holy Spirit and with the angels around me, well, God, help me find out what I want. Because then when I declare to you, I'll have what I want. Father, we worship you, we adore you. We declare with our mouth that we are in the kingdom of God. We are the children of God. We act like the children of God because we are the children of God. We act confident because we are confident. We are fully assured that you are the Lord and that you have empowered us and that when we speak out of our mouth what we believe in our heart, it is already being done as we speak. And the things that we pray for, we believe that we have received them and then they manifest in our life. And we're taking 2024, not going to say, well, we'll see what happens. We're going to make what happens by what we believe in our heart and what we say with our mouth. And we're taking it for the kingdom's sake. And thank you. We acknowledge we have boldness like we've never had before to love people. Amen. Sorry for keeping so long. Hope you got something out of that. I know you did. I know you did.